have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, Making Marriage Meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
Well, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. We want to say welcome to our Apostle Irvin Whitlow. I'm excited and elated to be with you on this evening. I pray that you are ready for some good conversation tonight because I'm excited about what shall be talked about, what shall be shared. Hopefully your marriage is going well. And even if your marriage is being challenged and tried, hopefully something that will be said tonight will be helpful and a benefit to you. Now, please let me put this disclaimer out there. I, Irvin Whitlow, the apostle, do not claim to be a relationship expert. However, I have been through some things in life through relationships and marriages that have caused some disappointments, but some learning experiences. And I believe that the things that the Lord has given to me to share with you will help you to, in fact, better the marriage you are currently in. Even if you are in the stage of preparing to get married, perhaps there's some things that we'll share with you that will help you avoid some pitfalls. If you went through a divorce and you're considering a remarriage, hopefully we'll be able to help you to see some things differently for this next go round. That's our objective. That's our intent. And I pray that it will be a blessing to you. Now, let me give you this other disclaimer. This conversation is relationship talk, but this conversation is not scripted. It is real. There is nothing about it that's fake or fabricated. It is raw. We deal, most of all, it is relevant. There are things that we will share through the Word of God and through transparency and experiences that will be a help to you somehow, some way. Call your neighbor, call your friend. If necessary, call your dog Rover. Let them know that Making Marriage Meaningful is on the air. I do not do this all by myself. God has blessed me to have a great panel of men and women of God who have had some kind of experience with marriage, whether they are married currently or have been married and gone through a divorce, been married and gone through a widow or something. We want to talk to you on tonight. Let me see who's joining us tonight. Let me start with the producer of this podcast. Without her, this podcast not would take place. So, Dr. Kimmett Kim, come on and say something to us tonight. God bless you.
God bless you, my brother. How you doing today?
Well, thank God I'm still on the top side. How are you coming along?
I'm coming along.
Awesome.
Good to hear from
awesome.
You.
Well, it's good to be in a place with friends. Family that is going on. Let me I'm a waterfall. But let me speak what is tonight. Apostle Felicia Flight, are you here this evening? Okay. I don't hear her voice. Let's see. Bishop Elect Bernard. Are you here tonight? Don't get spoiled. Let me see. Apostle Vince L. Smith, are you here tonight? All right. Apostle Chuck, are you with us?
To God be the glory.
Hey. Reverend Billy Gatesville, are you with us? All right. So, it is like Brother Kevin, Dr. Kevin is the one who are
Y'all going in and out.
I hear a lot of water running, so like a waterfall. So I don't know who's near a water.
And
but prayerfully, we situated. All right. So did you say you're here, Apostle Clark?
I am.
Oh, well,
but Apostle Urban, that's your phone. I'm sorry.
It's my phone.
Yeah.
I ain't nowhere near no waterfall. Not me. Uh-uh. I'm not Facebook Live.
We don't know that.
Through this phone. I do, too.
We don't know that.
Look here. I'm praying for you in Jesus' name. Since you said that, go on, pray tonight in Jesus' name. Pray.
You want me to pray?
Yes.
Okay, well, bow your eyes and close your face.
Lord Jesus.
Wow. Gracious Father in heaven, we truly thank you now, God, for all things. We thank you, Lord God, for waking us up this morning, oh God, with the activities of our limbs. Father, we thank you, oh God, for being a sovereign God. We thank you for being a just God, a loving God, a faithful God, a loyal God. God, we ask now in the name of Jesus that, Lord God, you would forgive us, oh God, of every sin, oh God, that we've committed knowingly as unknowingly, oh God. Wash us now, oh God, from the crown of our heads, oh God, to the soles of our feet, oh God. Don't allow our sin, oh God, to keep us, oh God, from your grace and from your mercy. God, I ask right now, oh God, that you would heal the sick, oh God, that, Lord God, you would restore those, oh God, who are broken, oh God. Father, give them, oh God, the strength to endure, oh God, unto the end. Father, we know that with you all things are possible. Without faith, oh God, nothing is possible. So, God, we thank you. We honor you. Lord God, let tonight, oh God, allow us to be on one accord, oh God. Allow us to see, oh God, to disagree, oh God, to agree. But most of all, oh God, allow us, oh God, to give godly advice. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen and amen.
Well, amen. Thank you so much for the prayer. We appreciate you. Amen. Let me read to you these verses coming out of 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 2 says this, and it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. The woman was very beautiful to look upon. We're going to continue this discussion, Help, I'm Toxic, Ignoring the Signs, Ignoring the Signs. As we have talked about this toxicity, we understand that to be toxic is behavior that adds negativity and upsetting to your life. Behavior that adds negativity and is upsetting to your life. There are things that are going on here that brings forth negativity and brings upset to your life. Now, some people are probably thinking to themselves, how does this particular passage of Scripture relate to marriage? Well, it relates based upon certain things that transpire, if you will, certain concepts. That's what we look at, concepts. And that's something that oftentimes people ignore. Let me backtrack for a moment, because there is something that I did not make mention of, and I need to on tonight. It says, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle. I need to say this, that every marriage will have a time of war. Let me say it again. Every marriage will have a time of war. Now, what kind of war will determine what kind of responsibilities you will have. It could be an internal war, or it could be an external war. What that means is that either you are fighting in your marriage or you're fighting for your marriage. And guaranteed, no matter who you are, at some point you are going to fight in your marriage or you're going to have to fight for your marriage. If you're fighting in your marriage, it's because there are things that are in your marriage that need to be corrected. Now, some people do not know how to fight in their marriage. And that's what makes it a challenge, and they end up fighting for their marriage. On the other hand, there are those who are fighting for their marriage, and because they don't know how to fight, it causes a fight in their marriage. But if there's a fight somewhere, I guarantee there's toxicity. Simple. If there is a fight going on, there's some toxicity somewhere. Something or someone is toxic, and that is why there's a fight. But the problem is that when it's time to fight, whether it's in the marriage or for the marriage, somebody is not showing up to fight. Does anybody agree or disagree with that statement right there?
I agree. Because I'm a firm believer that anything worth having, is worth fighting for. But I can't fight alone. I mean, if we started off fighting together and he has lost interest, then I'm still fighting because I want it to work. One thing for certain and two for sure. Yeah, it takes two to make the things go right. Yeah, I do. But at the same token, on the reverse side of that, if he has given up or if she has given up, would you be honest enough to say or burnt out to say that there's no more fight in you? And if there's not, can there be? Because a few months ago, we talked about the rekindle. So can that do you really have all of your fight stopped, or do you have a little more in there that you're willing to fight? I just answered all three questions at once. But I mean, some people, I want to fight. I would want to fight. Even if he has given up, walked away, went to the lawyer's office to have a paper trial, I'm going to fight until the judge say there's no more. I'm going to fight.
Okay. Anyone else on that thought? Anyone else on that thought?
I think that someone has said those things obtained too easily are seen too lightly. So I think that if it's not worth fighting for, then I don't think that it should engage your time and attention. I think that anything that you want, you should be willing to fight for.
Okay. Yes, sir. Dr. Kimmy, any thoughts on this?
Well, I agree. Anything worth having is worth fighting for, but if it's no longer able to be solved, like it says, if the person left the marriage, I'm okay to divorce. And I am a fighter, but at the same time, if that person has already left the marriage, I am clear to divorce him. Because the Bible says you wait until they, you know, come around. If they don't come around and they leave the marriage, then you're good to go. Yeah.
The thing I'm looking at is, that, and I understand what everybody is saying, and I respect what everybody is saying. You've got one who is saying if it's worth fighting for, then fight. But if there's nothing left to fight for, then don't waste your time. And I understand that. But I think what I'm looking at here in this passage is you not showing up to the fight, but rather you have somebody trying to fight for the marriage for you. For instance, when you try to get your best friend to fight for you, why? Because your best friend has a way with words or a way of fighting that you're not used to. So you have your best friend fighting for your marriage, or you have your mother or your father or your sibling fighting for your marriage, and they're doing the work to try to keep your marriage together, your marriage working, and you're not doing it yourself. Here's why I say that. Because years ago, when I was in St. Louis, I was there with this particular bishop, and while he was away, I'm still steady running this revival. While he was away, he had stayed so to the point that his wife did not want him to come back. He called me and asked me to talk to his wife. He said these words. He said, look, man, I really care about her. I really, really care about her. He didn't say that he loved her, but he said he really, really care about her. And so I spoke to the wife, and I spoke to her. I talked until she decided to take him back. She took him back because I spoke to her. Okay, fine. Soon as I got her to take him back, right, he comes home for a few days. He goes away, and not too long after, he does the same thing again. But the problem is, this time now, he burnt bridges because of the way he spoke against me over some foolishness, and it hurt him to the point where she was like, I'm tired, I'm not being bothered, and can't nobody tell me anything different. Now that's her mindset. Now he wants me to fight for him again. And I'm like, no, this time I'm not getting involved. I'm staying out. So now by this time, he done told a bunch of lies on me. Okay. Now he wondering why she don't want to be bothered with him. Well, because you kind of done burnt yourself. Now you want somebody to fight for things you've done. It just doesn't work like that. Saying that to say that there are people who will try to get you to fight their battles for them when it comes to their marriage. Has anybody ever experienced anything like that?
Well, I would just say this. This is Brother Gabriel. Now,
yes, sir.
I think you have actually answered the question in your commentary about fighting for someone else's marriage. All too often, that is a no-no when you share your home affairs, a personal thing, with an outsider other than that. All too often, we call that meddling. And once you come in trying to, because it's going to be very obvious that you will be on the side of one or the other. When you come in there, I don't believe that is a neutral ground. And that's where I believe that this would come between him or her, the wife and or the husband, going back to the previous discussions we had some weeks ago. It is all, in my opinion, predicated on mutual respect and the ability to communicate with one another, expressing their feelings, expressing their wants and their needs to each other, expressing when you are accosted to me, expressing when I'm hurting, and expressing what made me feel. Just going back and forth each other mutually, and listen with an attentive ear. Now, an outsider, not knowing the internal kerfuffles that you might have in the house, will give an objective opinion that might ruffle the feathers of one or the other. And that is how that person got mad. They won't, because because you really, it's just nailing. So many times you see cases where, here's a good example, when a husband and wife or a couple are fighting, I mean actually fighting, you know, in the street pushing and fighting one another physically. An outsider, you or me, will intervene. And the one is getting the worst, about, like the woman, for that example. Knowing she's not winning, she will turn on me for interrupting, whatever the case might be. So it's a very precarious position to take when you try to intervene in a personal affair like, such as what we're talking about right now. That's what I see.
Okay. Anyone else want to comment on that? Because that's, you know, I agree that when you allow others to interfere, when you allow others to try to fight for you, you know, you got some folks, unfortunately, who are selfish. And what I mean by that is while you think they're fighting for your marriage, they might be trying to make a play for themselves.
Absolutely.
I'll never forget. Yeah, come on. What do you want to say?
Yeah, let me go ahead and bust that bubble right quick. I can fight on my own. That's why I don't have friends. I don't do females. But see, I just felt Felicia rise up. If I ever put a female in my husband's face, I promise you she's going to have a knot in the middle of her forehead. That's overstepping my... my grandma always taught me, you never have a female around your husband. I don't care if y'all been best friends for the past 30, 40 years. A woman is just like a snake.
Oh.
It be nice for a little bit. And all a snake shed its skin, but it's still a snake.
Uh-huh.
See, she can be texting, well, girl, what's his phone number? I need for him to pray for me. Whatever you want him to pray for, you better go to God for yourself. And I'm so serious about that. There are some men and some women who wait for an opportunity as such. They in the kingdom, out the kingdom, around the kingdom, up under the kingdom, with the kingdom, all of that. Another woman has no business being in your husband's face unless that's his sister. And I'm being 100. I'm just like another man should not be in my face trying to give me advice about my marriage. You can't tell me nothing.
There you go.
No. Tell me nothing. That's my marriage. I stood before the minister and God, and I made that covenant. That's my covenant. That's not your covenant. That's mine. So whenever I'm wrong, they ain't going to go look for Brother Brown over there. They're going to come look for Lady C. That's what they're looking for. God ain't punishing Brother Brown. God punishing Lady C.
Uh-huh.
So no, if we're going to go to counsel, we're going to go to counseling together, and we're going to go to somebody outside of who we know.
That's
a requirement, if just it. But no, I don't play them kind of games. I'm telling you that right now. And if my baby daddy listening, no, hear me well. Try me if you want to. Okay, I'm there.
Lord Jesus. She just dropped the mic. Oh, my gosh.
Woo!
And
I hope he listening because I told him, that it's just certain things that you do, certain things you do out of respect. I mean, you know, we all had female friends, male friends before we got married. Girl, if I was you, I'd tell him this. You ain't me, though.
True.
You're not me. I can't live my marriage how you live yours because yours jacked up.
Okay.
Just like I believe, we ain't talking about this right now, but I'm going to put this out there. That's why it's not good to take advice from a single person. I'm married. I ain't got no business hanging out with no single female. No. No. Not hanging out with them. Like, we can talk all day long. I can get, godly counsel, but I ain't got no business being in. It's a no for me. That'll be enough. Coach, take the ball, coach. Take the ball.
Well, again, the thing is not allowing someone else to do the work for you. Not allowing someone else to do the fight for you. I mean, because, again, there are people who have agendas. If you got someone fighting for you, they have an agenda when they start fighting. Because if they are saving your marriage for you, eventually the other person in the marriage is going to say, well, forget this person. If he won't fight for this marriage, well, since this other person did, I'll take it. Watch this. Did anybody remember that movie with Richard Pryor, Which Way Is Up? Anybody remember that, Which Way Is Up? Do you remember how Richard Pryor had gotten so caught up with his job and with his other woman, so to the point that he started ignoring his wife, and then he started ignoring the other woman that he was with, and then he brought his best friend around, and before you know it, his wife left him, the other woman left him, and went with his woman. Why? Because he could not fight for his own marriage or his own relationship. I'm telling you, when the scripture says that David, he did not go to the fight himself. He sent somebody to fight for him. It's dangerous, Lord Jesus, it's dangerous to send someone to fight for you for what you say that you love or for what you say that you honor or what you say that you appreciate or what you say that you prayed for, but you're not fighting for it. Why are you going to pray for something that you ain't going to fight for? And we're talking about a marriage here. We're talking about a relationship here. So you mean to tell me that you want, okay, let me say it this way. You want the pastor to pray for your marriage, but you ain't going to put forth the effort to make it work? Oh, so you want the pastor to do the work for you. Huh? Wait. And then all of a sudden, now your mate is attracted to the pastor and you mad about it. Why are you mad about it? Is what you chose.
Child, you open up that door for yourself. You slip right on that banana peel, and they slip right on in.
No. I'm simply saying that these are people don't pay attention to. See, I realized a long time ago, and the Lord spoke this to me. He said he can do anything, but he won't do everything. And the thing is that there are too many people who want others to do it for them. How do you want it to work if you're not going to put forth the effort? The last I checked, if I take a test for you, it's called cheating, and we both get disqualified. I wish somebody would talk to me right now.
Okay. This thing we keep talking about fighting for, I know we'll talk about making means of trying to save your marriage, but I know the word fighting, I know this. I know where you are, but I just think, as the young lady said, if you have a marriage, if you're married, and you would like to remain married, and I think it might sound repetitive, two of you, if we are spiritual minded, such as we're talking about now. And it takes, again, and please help me out if I'm repeating, it takes, again, mutual respect. Now, when a outsider come in, I take that back, who you invite are sharing your homework with another who has no real business knowing what goes on and 22 Love Street. Whenever you share your personal business such as this rather than with each other, that breeds trouble. Please believe me. And all too often, I think someone said that again, and in many cases, I've seen it happen. When you share this with another person, I just say when another woman might share this with another man about what goes on in the house, we have a name for men in many cases. They always say men are dogs. I know they mean well, but I understand this. All too often, let's just say, sharing this with Tyrone. Tyrone, being the man that he is listening to the downfalls of Buddy Joe. Now, and he in turn is going to say some real sweet things of what Joe should be doing and things like that. He's going to be talking some real mellow things that might make her feel good about, as if pretending that he really understands how she's doing. And that repetitive, and she will take on, and then, well, it works both ways now. Oh boy, you really understand. I like you. You really make me feel, I understand. You're right. That's something. And you'll find herself going back to him or her, in either case, to hear the things that she liked to hear. And you said it, you hinted to it just a few minutes ago, and all too often he becomes very comfortable with the counseling, per se, I put that in quotation, that Joe Slick has given to her. And that will continue, and then she becomes mesmerized with that and not really paying attention to what her husband is saying, because now she's hearing something very different. You see, it goes so deep how the inattention that we give each other. The women like to talk. I mean, they would like to resolve it. But men all too often, they shut down. They shut down instead of really sitting down there and rationalizing, talking about trying to iron out their problems among themselves. And I have seen that to be very problematic. And as a young lady just said a few minutes ago, that you don't need to be sharing our intimate things to another person, because they might be your friend, but sometimes, what's that song say? There's a thin line between love and hate. That's a thin line also between honesty and deceit as well. And so that's where you open the door for trouble. Too many times.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you the mic back. I'm not dropping it, but I'm letting it loose for right now.
Can y'all hear me? Yes, we can hear. Come on, yes, sir.
Okay. I thought my headphones was broke. All right.
No, we hear you. Did you want to say something?
Oh, no, I'm good. I'm listening.
I think it's important that those who are listening really hear this, because there's somebody right now who's they're battling in this very area. they really love their mate, and they want to make it work, but they don't. Some people really just don't know how to fight, if the truth be told. And some people have allowed the wrong one to fight for them. We have to be truthful. We can't allow everybody to fight our battles for us, because everybody don't have what it takes to make sure that the battle is fought properly. Let's be truthful about it. And if it's not going to be a beneficial or fair fight, then it's going to be very detrimental to somebody who's hoping for a good fight, because they want, there are people who want their, listen, don't nobody get married just to get divorced. Come on. Don't nobody really do that. The people who get married is because they're hoping that what they have been hoping for all their days has finally come. That's all it is. They just hoping that everything is going to be all right, everything going to be perfect, or whatever you want to call it. They're just hoping for that. They just want the best. I don't know anybody who don't want the best for their marriage. I don't know anybody who don't want to experience the greater goods in their marriage. I don't know anybody in that category. So
So these are things that we really have to consider. Somebody wants better. Somebody is hoping and praying and seeking for better. Anybody agree? Anybody disagree? I just lost everybody.
No, you didn't lose everybody. I think that counseling is a professional occupation, and I don't think that any and everybody should consider themselves a counselor, because sometimes you can do more damage than you do good. So I'm thinking that, you know, and with all due respect to any ministers or preachers that may be on the line, I don't think just because your calling to preach the gospel in all cases equips you to deal with complex counseling requirements. And I think in addition, you know, to that book between Genesis and Revelation, there should be one that also talks about social adjustment. Because if you're unequally yoked, and that's what we frequently find ourselves in, if we're unequally yoked, then you got to go a little bit deeper than just, you know, love thyself as you love thy mate, neighbor, whatever it is. And I drop the mic.
Amen. Amen. Apostle Fife, you wanted to say something?
What was that question? I'm sorry. Seriously, what Brother Chuck said, being that you're an apostle and I am an apostle, and then we have Pastor Gabe, Reverend Gabriel on the line, and because I'm a life coach, I do counsel. Apostle, I'm pretty sure that you have counseled some people, and then Reverend Gabriel, y'all have to excuse me because that title. Have counseled people, whether it be about finances, whether it been on the condolences, a loss of a loved one, a mother, a father, a son, brother, child. We all have counseled somebody. And truth be told, if your best friend calls you with a dilemma, you're a counselor. You're a life counselor. So I said all that to say this. Yes, you have to be careful, mindful, and very, 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 very mindful of who you're talking to, and make sure that it's godly counsel, because the book of Proverbs talks about, I think it's Proverbs 18, where it talks about without counsel, you know, the people perish. Just lamest terms for that. So you have to be careful of who you're telling your business to. That's number one. Number two, I said what I said, I meant what I said, and I'm going to say it again for the people who didn't hear me the first time. I don't have time for another woman to be coming to me telling me about my husband. You didn't marry him, I did. So whatever issues we have, we're going to work them out with the help of the Lord. And I'm just keeping it 100. I don't like stuff like that. I don't, you know, I've talked about putting my business on Facebook when we have an argument or whatever, you make a Facebook post. None of that. What we go through stays at, as it was said, 22 love lanes. That's where it stays at. You can be mad with me for about 7 hours. The 8th hour, you better have to have and got over it. That's it. I'm not going to bed angry. I ain't going to call nobody. Because what happens is when you call other people and tell them, oh, me and CJ, we had an argument, and he said this to me or he did this to me. Let me tell you something. You and CJ can make up. Y'all be in the best of terms for whoever you told your business to. Every time they see CJ, they're going to have a grudge against him. And that's a known fact. They're going to be upset with CJ because CJ hurt you, because CJ said something to you. You have to be careful who you are telling your business to. And I need for people to hear me and hear me well. Be careful, because when you tell other people what your mate has done to you or against you, they're going to be pissed off with that person. while you over there in your house and got over and gave them loving on them, y'all done had two more kids since then. But that family member, friend, whoever it is, going to be mad at him or her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have to be you have to be careful. Even in the Christians as well as the non-believers, you have to be careful of who you put your trust and your faith in. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but I put my trust in God because at the end of the day, He is the only one that can heal what's broken. He's the only one that can mend what's broken. He's the only one that can put. He's the only one that can reconcile something that we're saying is irreconcilable. He's the only one that can do it.
Amen.
The only one. So, you know, if you've been married, I'm sorry, what you say, brother?
I just wanted to know if amen, if I can say amen, is that out of order? Because I want to be in order.
Oh, no, you're not out of order. Because I'm going down. Okay, somebody need to mute their phone. I'm going to take it, you know, I'm going to do it one more time. And this the last time that I'm taking my vows serious. To death do us part, for better, for worse, for sickness, and in health. You cannot walk away with, you know, that, and if you walk away, you're toxic. Let me go ahead and add that. You're very toxic if you can just easily walk away from something that you put, you cried for, you longed for, you put your sweat in, you put your tears. You if you walk away from it that easy, then you are a coward.
Wow. Wow.
You are a coward.
Wow.
But what if I'm fighting? What if I'm fighting? She not.
You have literally.
What if I'm fighting?
I'm sorry.
She not.
Okay.
What if I'm fighting and she
when
not?
When you're fighting and she's not, you still fight. You still fight, even if you don't have any more fight in you. You still fight because at the end of the day, you stood before God, the minister, and those witnesses. That covenant is between you, her, and God. A three-cord strand is uneasily broken. You can't break that three-strand cord. You cannot break it. Go back to 1 Thessalonians. You can't break that. I don't care. You know, even some people say, well, they committed adultery. You can get divorced. Yeah. But if you love her, if you love him, you can work through that. Stop holding on to something that you say you forgave somebody for and you didn't forgive them. That was lip service. You didn't forgive them. If you bring it up every time they piss you off, you did not forgive them, sir, ma'am. You did not. Not wholeheartedly, because what if God did you the same way?
Can you put a pin in that for a moment? Can you put a pin in that
for
a moment?
I give you a moment.
Because in today's time, the correct term is, I forgive you, but I'll never forget.
But I ain't gonna forget. Then you ain't no believer. Because a believer,
well, just because I forgive
is
don't
going
mean
to forgive
just
and
I
forget.
Forgive. Just because I forgive doesn't mean I have to let it go.
Okay then. Well, you better hope and pray
that
God don't
you.
Call back everything that you did wrong.
Well, but he's God. I'm not God.
Well, you're supposed to be an imitator of Christ. You're supposed to be an imitator.
Well, somebody asked the question, how many times did I forgive my brother?
Seven times a day.
Amen. Amen.
That's what I said.
We are to repent daily.
The point is, our objective, again, is to help somebody because there are people who are literally dealing with things on this wise right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people, they don't know how to fight for their marriage. And so because they don't know how to fight, it could be that they're simply toxic.
Could be. But when you're fighting, do you pray when you're fighting? Do you fast when you're fighting? Do you believe when you're fighting? Do you trust when you're fighting?
Some people don't know how to do that.
Just to fight, you ain't going to win. I will suggest, honestly, is to seek godly counseling. Somebody who you know, you won't have to say, like I said yesterday, please don't tell my business. I mean, when you're talking to somebody and you got to tell them, don't repeat what you said, that ain't the person that you need to talk to. Godly counsel. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, he'll give it to you liberally. God, I need a godly connection that I can talk to, somebody who's going to help me. Give me the tools. Give me the resources that I can use to keep my marriage, to stay in my marriage. The young man said, what if you tired of fighting? What if you fighting and she ain't fighting? What if she fighting and you ain't fighting? You've got to work together as a team. Ministry, marriage is your first ministry. You can't even function on your job well if your household is jacked up. You can't go to God's house and expect for God's house to be in on one accord if your house is jacked up.
Am I the only one on this line that believes that the Holy Spirit will speak to you and give you guidance? Am I?
He will. He really will, Brother Chuck. And I agree. I 100% agree. But you have to be a willing vessel. You have to be able to hear his voice. You
Amen.
Have to know his voice.
Amen.
That's the truth, though.
If your heart ain't in it, you know, I think it was Atlantic Star. Who's on that star? If your heart ain't in it, why didn't you tell me so? If your heart ain't in it, if you're doing it just to say it's because you don't want your kids to be raised in a single household, or you don't want to be outside the household with your kids, you're fighting for the wrong reason. You're fighting for the wrong reason. Your children are going to resent you. You're going to start resenting yourself and your spouse and then your children. Why are you fighting for your marriage? Do you really love them? Why are you fighting? Or you just need somewhere to stay? Or you don't want to be put on child support?
Well, you know, for a lot of people, that's the real issue.
You can't stay in the marriage because of the kids.
See, these are things that people have to really determine. Are you fighting because you really want your marriage? Are you just doing it because you need a place to stay? You just doing it because
I want my marriage.
You're doing it because
you don't want somebody. If you're listening, baby daddy, I want my marriage. I want that. I want what's due to me. This ain't no lip service. This is action. Action speaks louder than words.
Let me ask you this, because you just said something that interests me. You said you're going to fight till death do you part. So does that mean that when you get tired, that you just might either kill him or have someone to take him out?
Nope.
I'm just asking.
I ain't going to jail for nobody. I don't look good in orange. I ain't going to jail for nobody.
You don't have to wear orange. You can wear black
and
white.
Excuse me?
You don't have to wear orange. You can wear black and white.
No. If it ain't polka dot or floral, I don't want it. See, there's a song that Beyonce and Jay-Z got out there. And it talks about, I don't care if me and my wife fight, I ain't leaving. I go to another room while she mad. The name of the song is called Friends. Beyonce and Jay-Z made it about almost 4 years ago now. Or I don't know if it's on her Lemonade album, but anyway, to make a long story short, he said, we're going to remain friends. I don't care what nobody say. Ain't nothing coming between me and my wife. That's what Jay-Z said. Whatever I did in the past was in the past. I'm now here. While she's fighting, I'm fighting too. Listen to the lyrics. You know, all lyrics ain't
know.
Good. I ain't going to tell you to listen to the lyrics, but that's some of the lyrics was saying he's going to fight until the end. He don't care if the house burning down. He's going to run in to save her if he got to die. You got to be careful and mindful when you make a vow or when you make a covenant and you break it just because it's not going the way that you want it to.
Okay.
It's a dangerous mm-hmm. thing to die with a broken covenant. And you knew the covenant that you wanted, and you were supposed to keep it. That's a terrible move. So, sir, if you're still on the line and you're asking the young man that was asking, what if he's fighting against you have to know within your heart of hearts, everything that I'm doing it because I want this to work. Everything that I'm doing, I want her back. I want her to know that I love her. Everything that I've done, I'm sorry I didn't do things right the first time, but give me this chance right here, even if it's your seventh chance. Seven, I don't care. Five is the number of grace. Wow. Seven is new beginnings. Eight is seven is completion. Eight is new beginnings. I don't care how long it takes you to get around. Baby, please don't sleep in another room. Go sleep in the guest room, but don't leave this house because I'm here right now. And sometimes what a woman needs to see is that your effort is sincere and it's pure.
So let me ask you this. So are you? So if this is supposedly a fight for the marriage, if this is supposedly a fight for the marriage, then are they really fighting if he's in one room and she's in another?
I would recommend him to be in the same. Yes, because they're not separated. As I want to be
separation.
Able to even when I
you're
wake up, you might
no,
not be
that
in.
Is
no,
separation.
No,
That's separation.
No. Okay, so because we're not sleeping in the same bed, but I'm fighting in the same household is my point.
That's not fighting. That's separation.
To me,
separation is not fighting.
To me, it is.
That is fighting too, because the first person that you have to defeat is yourself. And once you defeat yourself, then you're capable of fighting someone else. But you can't fight someone else unless you defeated yourself. So if you're fighting against yourself,
okay. You will never ever defeat yourself.
Oh my God!
Listen. Hear me out, Brother Cup. Hear me out. This is straight Bible. The Bible says that when I would do good, evil is always present. It says, for I know that in me dwells no good thing. So no matter what I do, for my better, somehow the best is not going to come. Not from me. See, listen, and this is why it was important that you said how important it is to be led by the Spirit of God. So if the Spirit of God does not tame you, if the Spirit of God is not leading and guiding you, then you are fighting a losing battle. You will never, listen, you will never be able to get the best of yourself. The only one that can handle you is the Spirit of the living God.
With all due respect, I think that same Bible told us to put on the whole armor of God so that we will be able to resist.
Oh, my God.
Now, listen to this. The part that you quoted about, David, speaking in the position he was in at that time, in other words, being in his natural state, he found that he was wrestling. It was the carnal spirit that was messing with him, and he found that no matter what, when he would do wrong, I mean right, he was always there. And that is a fact. We are living in a secular and a spiritual world, and our natural humanistic state, we are confronted with that, and that was David's Paul's position at this time. He recognized that. Now let's go back again. Rewind just a little bit in regards to sharing your intimacies with an outside person. And I have shared this a couple of times in my little talk. And I said, I have learned throughout the years, when you are sharing a secret with someone, I have learned that that's only two types of secrets. You heard me say it. I know some of you might can repeat it with me. It's either too good to keep or not worth. It's too good to keep and not worth sharing. That's what I'm talking about. At either case, it's going to go out. Too good to keep and not worth us. I forgot how to get myself. But in either case, it's going to go. Now, in the counseling, between the husband and the wife, we had something I think we call VCR. Yeah, that's it, VCR. I don't mean that the record players. But between the two of us, we're allowing one of each ventilate, to talk, to ventilate our situation with one another. That's come on that communication part. When we are sitting at the table or where we are, and we are sharing what's bugging me or what's going to get. And that's called ventilating. And you ventilate it with one another, sharing your thoughts with one another. And then after that, you begin to, when you think about it, you find a little area of small talking, consoling one another. In other words, acknowledging your weakness and your strong points, and acknowledging where you were, where you stepped on the toes, and that's personal consoling. And after that, once you do that, you ventilate, and then that little consoling, and that's a good reason where you come for the R, and then you work on the resolution, solving that problem, because you have been presented with the problem, you have shared it, and now you recognize that situation and consoling one another. Oh, yeah, you're right, baby. That is so true. I'm very sorry I did that. I didn't know you feel this way, blah, blah, or that kind of thing. That's consoling. And up on that recognition, that position, now we got the problem. Now, this is the resolution, the solving the problem. I recognize what I've done. I recognize what I did not do. I recognize now what I said. And I recognize the things that I'm not saying that I should have said, the things of that nature. Now, the two of you, you're using that word fighting, but you come to the area of that resolution, and you can start working on it as you have solved that problem. Then that is it. That's why they call it a problem, for every problem has a resolution. That's what my mathematics teachers tell us. So that's what I'm saying here. But there's no need to share with an outside friend. Oh, yeah, here we go with that one. When you share your intimacy with a non-professional or a one who is not as spiritual you might be, and I think some of you might have heard the little things when it's all over. He kept saying this, and he said that, and I like the way he said that, and all. And when I talk, it just what the last line, we didn't really mean for it to happen. It just happened. I don't know how we wound up doing it. It just happened. Nothing just happened. That's because you got too close to the fire, and you got burned, and now you're satisfied that position that Paul was saying when he would do right, he was always there. And these are tender traps that we fall in when we ventilate our situation or problem to another person who has no interest, none, in solving your problem. And next thing you know, he's going to tell Joe, who can keep a secret and won't tell nobody. And Joe knows, and that person knows somebody, he can keep a secret no matter what. And he can tell Mary, who would never tell nobody. And the next thing you see is going to be on Facebook, your whole situation. And people be looking at you grinning because you share this information with some unscrupulous person. And that happens all the time. All the time. All the time. Now, that's mine. I don't want the mic anymore. That's it. Have I got cut off?
Where did I go?
Oh, no, I was on mute. I'm sorry. I had to mute my phone. But let me make this again, and I appreciate everything that is being said. And please hear me when I say this. We are trying to make people aware of things that may be causing certain situations and circumstances in their marriage, and we're trying to get people to face the toxicity that is there that can be rectified and handled. But if you're not going to show up to fight for your marriage when it's time to fight, then what's going to happen is your marriage is going to fall to pieces and it will fail. And when it fails, you can't get mad at anybody else. I'm of the persuasion you only get out what you put in. So if you don't get a reward, you didn't put forth the effort. If you don't get paid, it's because you did not work. This scripture says something profound. It came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab. You cannot send nobody else to fight for your marriage. That is toxic. Trying to have somebody else fight for your marriage instead of you fighting for your own marriage. That is toxic. And I want to tell that man or that woman, if you love her, if you love him, inviting others to do what you are meant to do. Stop trying to get others involved with what was designed for you and him. You don't need your mama, your papa, your best friend, your homie, your sidekick or chick. If you want it to work, you don't want it to be toxic. You don't want that which is negative or upsetting. Then you need to show up to fight for your own marriage. And I don't care if you are fighting in your marriage. You still need to fight for your marriage. We are not out of talk. We're simply going to say that's it for tonight. I want you to join us next Saturday night as we continue with these discussions on help. I'm toxic, ignoring the signs. We want to help people to have better results in their marriage. I want to say again to each and every married individual who is listening, your marriage will be meaningless until your mate becomes meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin A. Whitmer Jr., inviting you to join us next Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, as we shall share more of making marriage meaningful. We pray that you have a good night, a great week.
Beautiful.
And that God will continue to bless and keep you and favor your marriage. If you're celebrating your anniversary this week in your marriage, we say happy anniversary. Hey, God bless your marriage and may you have many, many more. Dr. Kimmy, I need you to hit that track. Shalom. Shalom.
God bless you, brother.
Oh, God.